I have to tell you, I'm pretty mixed up. I've been mixed up my whole life. The funny thing about it is, you think you've got the world by the tail, and then you find out you don't. And it's kind of a funny thing. So I'd like to do two things tonight. I'd like to do, one, just talk about my background and tell you how self-righteous I was. And I had good reason to be self-righteous, at least in my mind. And then another part where God has come into my life. Okay, I mean, he's taken me over. I'm all in. And trust me, I never, ever expected this. Never expected this. So it's funny what you can do if you open your heart and you actually ask someone to help you in life. Just so everybody knows, I mean, I'm married. This is my wife, Donna. I love my wife. However, about a year ago, I mean, thank God there wasn't a gun around, because we were in the biggest feud you've ever seen in your life. In fact, I filed for divorce 3 times, and our marriage was over. And yet, here we are. So, and you know, I would say, Kent, I think that I should take some credit for it, but guess what? Every time I tried to do it right, I did it wrong, because I'm trying to drive, you know. So I'll just start off with a couple of things. You might think they're humorous, and maybe not, but so my father and my mother met via letters in World War II. My father was on a ship. My mother was living in California. And she wrote to a bunch of different sailors and service people, but she took a liking to my dad. Of course, he wasn't my dad at the time. And so he was nearly killed in one of the things that happened over there, some type of an initiative going on, and tore into his side. They had, from what I understand, at least what he told me, is they have a stretcher and they have a flag. And what they do when they're in these situations where a lot of people are dying, and you know they're trying to clean up after somebody's bombed the ship, is they just take and put them on, and then they slide them off, and that's the last of them. They don't keep them on board or anything like that. They're gone, and that's why the dog tags are so popular, because that's what you use. But anyway, he lived, but he spent the next year in a hospital, in a mental hospital, out on Long Island, because of the devastation it had to him in his mind and his soul. So my father had been in a mental institution. They met. They actually came to, she flew to or drove to, or I don't know how they got together, but they met in New York after he got out, and they drove to Mount Vernon, Ohio, and they got married, not knowing themselves other than by mail. My mother grew up, her father left before she really knew him at all. So she was raised by her mother. My father was a son of the town drunk. So, you know, got a lot of good things going for my family and what comes down to those generations. Eventually, my mother ended up in a mental institution as well that she finally got out of. You know, it's troubling. And it has kind of the interesting thing is, and for the parents that are here, you know, when somebody says you're a drug addict, I want you to know, I mean, the rest of the family members go through something very similar. And they hurt just as bad as everyone else. The one person that's hurting everyone else, at least people might say, but really, it's just as devastating to watch someone of your family go through that than it is for the person doing it. Not only that, but it has an unbelievable effect on family members. I can tell you, and I'm just going to lead in a couple things, and, you know, that my daughter died of a drug overdose about 18 months ago. And her boyfriend died 4 or 5 months before that of a drug overdose. In fact, I think my daughter actually gave him too much. And before, you know, before she was too far gone, that she had mentioned that she'd given him the heroin along with the cocaine, and she was bigger than he was, and gave him the same dose, and that's what killed him. They left two children, 9 months old and 15 months. And his side of the family was, they lived with drugs in their life. In fact, the church, at his funeral, before my daughter died, the uncle was a pastor of a church, and his son was as well. And they say, "Oh Lord, everybody, only the Lord knows how much we like to party," and that's really so. It just kind of tells you, you know, where people come from. But we all come from different paths, and there is a way to fix all that. But sometimes, like people like me, it takes almost forever to find out the right way. And I think sometimes we want to kick ourselves for that. So, my parents loved each other, maybe. I think they stayed together because they were doing it for the kids. Sometimes I think we all fight and wonder whether or not that's a good thing. But they did. They fought a lot. I still don't think I know how to love. I didn't feel a lot of love in the house. My mother knew the Bible, and that helped a lot. That helped me get through many things. And I was baptized when I was about 13 in Mount Vernon. So if someone asks me, you know, "Are you baptized?" And, you know, so ask me.
Are you baptized?
What'd you say? I'm kidding. No. Yes, I was baptized. So people believe that being baptized means that you are saved. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but when you're baptized when you're young, you know, you say, okay, you know, you're 13 years old, what do you know? So someone probably talked to me, somebody probably asked me some questions, and I probably said yes. But if you ask if it's a significant emotional event in my life, at that time it probably wasn't. But I held on to that. It worked for me for a long, long time. That kept people that were saved at their distance. And so, you know, we can say we're saved. And maybe that's a good way to hide a bit, but it's not the answer. And so I just wanted to say that. So my life was in the military. I started out as an Army Ranger. I was a young kid a long time ago, and then got smart and decided to go fly airplanes. I went in the Air Force and flew F-111s, if anybody knows airplanes. It's a supersonic airplane. It was really, really good. And then went in the Navy and flew off of carriers for 4 years, flying A-6s. And I will tell you, the military, like many places, even in corporations, they want to build you up because they're asking you to do things you would not normally do as a human being. You know, put your life on the line, throw it out there. And so they want you to be self-righteous. They want you to be strong-willed. They want to make sure that you're not looking for outside influences to affect being in fast aircraft and doing what you got to do, which is essentially, in all cases, it's usually killing people. So I was there for 25 years. I actually, with the Navy, I will say that's probably the biggest problem that I had. At the time, it wasn't, because you want to fit in. But they did everything. The Navy is a tough service. You're flying off on and off these carriers that are so small, from 5 miles, you wouldn't believe it. And that's your home. And you know, if you don't get on the boat, then you die, or you don't get a good cat shot. You know, you try to eject and try to save yourself, and so on and so forth. So. So I was at Whidbey Island with the Navy, and I remember I used to count how many people had died just from that base. especially in the A6 community. And I stopped counting at 22 people. And, you know, and that was about 3 years. I would see people die. They'd be sitting next to me in a desk. They just wouldn't be there. Basically, we never talked about it because it was just something you don't talk about. Now, I'm not quite sure that's healthy, but that's how they did it. So you consider I'm married at the time and have small children, but I'm so self-indulged and self-focused and selfish that I think, just like they want you to think, that you are more important than anything else in this world. And it, in my opinion, it wrecked my marriage, my first marriage. And, you know, I take responsibility for my kids growing up without a father. So, we all, there are different reasons, but I think we all have been through some of these things where something pulls us away, and we don't know because we don't open our hearts and let Jesus Christ in to help guide us, or to actually guide us, if you really want to say. So my kids, my first wife, and I don't want to judge, but I mean, she was identified as an enabler. My son wouldn't go to school. He was 74 days truant 1 year, and he would call his mom at work and say, "Hey, I want you to bring me home lunch." And she would leave work, go to McDonald's, pick him up food, bring it to him at the house while he's truant, and then go back to work. Needless to say, that didn't turn out well. Okay? My daughter was sensitive. She was a couple years older than my son. My son's still alive, by the way. And she was more sensitive. She felt like she needed to be in part of something. You know, you want to be part of something. Unfortunately, she started smoking with a person, a friend, and then she just had that addictive personality. And, you know, people say addiction is a disease. All I can tell you is, and I don't know, but I can tell you, I mean, you wonder how it could be you and not you, or you and not you, or you and not you, or both of you and none of you. It happens. And it just grabs them. So my daughter went down the wrong road. And my wife at the time believed that she could do no wrong, and she did everything in the world to keep her out of trouble, and she lied for both kids. No matter what they did, it was unconditional love. And, I don't blame her. Thank God. God changed that for me, and I'll talk about that. But to her last days, my daughter, my ex-wife enabled my daughter to the end. And it was sad. And I will tell you, if anybody has a parent, and maybe, you know, you guys want to talk about it, but, you know, you could have two parents, and yet the way you raise children and the way she raised children or whatever it might be is totally different. And it's very difficult that way. But at any rate, my daughter, since I'd like to get to that, my daughter did well in school. She was a model for Elder Beerman, you know. She sang, she danced, she's been in the Beaver Creek Theater. And then it just kind of grabbed her. And she lied about it, things like that. And then she fell in love with a guy. And they were madly in love with each other, and he came from a family of drugs. And so that's just the way it was. Now, she had already been in drugs, but that just led to an unbelievable spiral over about 4 years to the death of both of them, But I will tell you, I will say this, that Pastor Josh, the first time I met him, he was giving the message at my daughter's funeral. And, you know, that's the first time I met him. My wife actually, before we broke up, knew him and invited him over. So it was good. But, you know, I said, God had snatched up my daughter because he knew she needed help, and enough was enough. And I truly believe that, and I said that then, and I believe it now. So I don't remember ever saying, I hated God for it. I don't know why, but I just didn't. But I guarantee you, I changed. And just like what you hear about people, family members, parents together and losing a child to drugs or alcohol or anything like that, 90-95% of the time end up divorced. So we all live drugs and alcohol. We all live addictions. We all live them just as much as a person who is doing them. And, you know, I know it's hard for people that are addicted and to things like that, and maybe some of them are here, but it just shatters families. And you know, they want to help. They don't want you there. They'll do just about anything, but we've got to find. So, you know, we say, this is a bad. So where's the good, Steve? Well, I mean, because that's exactly kind of how I felt 18 months ago. So I was pretty mad, pretty upset. By the way, just to tell you about tools, you know, I thought I was pretty cocky, in the sense that I had a master's degree in counseling guidance, and I had been a drug and alcohol program advisor in the military. So I should be able to fix this, right? I've got the tools. Didn't help me one bit. In fact, I think it made it worse. Wrong tools, Steve, wrong tools. So over a period of about 6 months, our relationship spiraled down to the bottom, or below this ground, as far as I'm concerned. And we did some dastardly things to each other, not physically, but certainly mentally. And we physically separated, and we're still separated today. And I lived in my house for 4 months without any real contact. I guess what saved me was coming to church a little bit, and then, you know, God knew I was at my bottom. And it's so sad to me that I wasn't more willing to allow him into my heart before that. And sometimes I think that I was so cast in sin, and I had done so many things, drank and caroused and whatever else it was out there in the world, and hurt people, that I didn't think I could be saved. And yet I thought I was a good person at the same time. I don't know. You talk about a problem. But, you know, do other people, do they feel like that sometimes? Do you all feel like that? Where am I going? What am I doing? You know, wait a minute. I've got the tools. I'm a good parent. Yeah. Or I've got the tools. I'm a good son or daughter. But really what it comes down to, and so by the way, I did find Jesus Christ again. I don't think, however, that I was really saved the first time. I don't think, because it honestly, and it's tough to say, but honestly, I don't remember that event. I maybe remember the church a little bit, but I don't think it was significant to me. However, I came to this church in many cases without my wife at the time. We were separated. We were trying to go to the same church, and I want you to know it was uncomfortable for her, and I, of course, not me, right? I'm going to say, it was uncomfortable for me too. And yet, somewhere in there, I opened my heart to the Lord. And, you know, and it happened. And it just happened. Yes, I'd come up and kneel up here, when we ask people to come up if you want to kneel and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you this. First, my life changed. And, you know, for the people who who don't know the Lord like I do now, you know, you wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. And, oh, by the way, it's a free gift. You don't have to buy it. We have to buy drugs. We have to buy soap, bleach, washing machines. But this is a free gift, folks. And, you know, I mean, how good can it get? And yet we all seem to miss it. One way or the other, we miss it, or we don't cherish it. And it is something worth cherishing. It's better than gold or anything else. So we came to this church separately, and over time, this church, the love in this church, helped us to try to bring it back together. But I want to tell you something. We were gone. I mean, we were G-O-N-E. There was no bringing back. I filed for divorce 3 times. I mean, that's pretty much saying it. It was expensive. I mean, I'm not quite sure I could afford to eat. And the lawyer never asked me out for dinner. I don't, he didn't took me to dinner. They don't do that. So, but at any rate, over time, my wife and I have been doing counseling here. So I do love my wife, and she loves me. And we're going through classes together and doing things together at church. And finding the love from the church and from the Lord and from each other. So thank you, honey. So I don't know about anybody else, but if you feel that you're saved, you may feel like I did just even a month ago, and you felt pretty good. I mean, I had found peace. God had allowed me to find peace, and we say joy because you can only get joy. But the peace is where it all happens for me. It is a place. It's a comforting place where I can be with the Lord and he can help me succeed. He can, and I can help him as well. I just can't tell you how important that has been to been for me to find that place. So I liken it to, for me anyway, I liken it to, anybody ever rode horses, you know, out on a trail and so on? You start in a barn, you know, and you get on the animal and you're like this and you're going down and come on. And you're kicking them away from the barn, right? They don't want to go, right? And as soon as you turn around, they run back. Well, that is how I live, because I want to come back to that same point. I mean, that is probably the most important thing in my life right now, is to go back to that point where I can work with Jesus Christ and find the way. Or maybe he chooses not to tell me at the time, but he has shown me the way. And no matter what it's been, and I can pray really hard. It doesn't happen when you want it, but it's there. So if you don't know that point of peace in your life where you can shed all those tears, all the hate and discontent, all the bills and everything else, I just want you to know it's free. That place is free. It's just waiting for you and me. So, by the grace of God, you know, I can stand here today and say that. But the rest of the story is, you know, I mean, I could go into all kinds of things. My sister was on drugs since she was 15. She died at age 59 from her body being eaten up inside from just doing drugs for so many years. She was in rehab 7 times. She finally stopped, but it had a significant impact on her brain and her brain function, and things weren't right. And her intestines started breaking down. And so they had to go in and cut a piece out. And then, unfortunately, some of the stuff spilled into her stomach, and it was a downhill run from there. It was tragic. Did she know the Lord? I would say no. She wasn't that way. It really hurts me. I hope, but, you know, knowing what I know today, I'd say she's not there. And that's sad. I know my mom's in heaven. I don't know. I really don't think my dad's in heaven, because Knowing the difference is simple. Knowing the difference. You know, it's not, well, I'm 3/4 sure, or, you know, I'm 25% sure I'm not going to hell, and I'm 75% sure I'm going to heaven, and as long as I keep doing what I'm doing, I think I'm going to make it. It's not like that. And it's free. It's free, 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 free. So I would just like to talk about that a little bit, about some of the things that changed me. And then I'd like to say that I believe today I can stand here in front of you and say, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to live my life ever after with Jesus in heaven forever, and my families that are in heaven, and I'm going to just love it. I'm going to love it. I know. Now, the question I have is, how many people in here can feel that you 100%, not 99%, I'm talking 100% sure that you know you're going to live your life with the love of Jesus Christ and everything else that comes over the angels and other family members in heaven? I know I'm going there. You know, you can, that's great. That's great. You know, and I'm not asking for hands, because some, you know, I mean, we're talking 1%. That 1%, just thinking 1% really, at least in my case, really gnawed on me. And so, you know, I'm learning. I'm drinking the juice and loving it and feeling better in my life and trying to create a better relationship with my wife and my family members. And I think I found it. And it was just right there for me. It was right there. And it really is fairly simple, because it's a gift. It's a gift. And all you have to do is ask for that gift. That's all you have to do. And so I'd just like to share a few things. Mike, you up there? Hey, there he is. So I'd like to share with you a few things that I learned and how I learned. But I actually gave my life to the Lord 100%, with an 82-year-old lady that lives the first house on 2nd Street on this side, going east. An 82-year-old woman that we had gone into with Tom and talked to her about the Lord. And while she said the salvation prayer, I said it with her. I said it with her. Now you say, that's pretty crazy. But that's where I learned that I'm going to heaven forever and ever, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing. And I'm a different person, and I feel different, and I act different, and I live different. Now you can say, okay, so this guy's been out here. I've been coming to church for 8 or 9 months. You know, how does he know so much? I don't know. I mean, do I even know that much? All I know is that I opened that door and let him in. And 100%, 100%. So if I'm, so I have, what I have in my hand is something very small. And I just want to run through these things with you, not take all night, but just run through these things. And there's some really, really good questions. And, you know, this is about thinking. This is not about me thinking as much, but it's about everyone else. And I really want you to try to take some of this in, and maybe you'll find something in there that you didn't have before. And really, so this is not a hard sell. This is just the way that I found the Lord, and I know I'm going to heaven 100% of the time, 100%. I can fall down dead tomorrow, and I'm going to heaven. I mean, it doesn't matter. And you know that feeling of being 100% a month ago? That feeling has changed me. I sleep better. I'd say I eat better, but I don't want to because I get fat, but so on. So could you throw up the first slide? So it's just some questions. You know, and I will say some of this is what I do following Tom. When we go out and we meet other people and we try to share the gospel, share the faith of us. Now, the fact that I think I was saved by doing this is pretty amazing to me. with an 8-year-old woman that I just met. But that's how it happened. So, do you have any spiritual beliefs? Now, I know we have people in here that are saved. But it's a good question. What are your spiritual beliefs? Do you believe that God is going to save you from this world? Do you think that he's going to, he's good, but he can let things happen that are bad and I'm going to hate him for it? I mean, you know, how is your spiritual beliefs? And it's something you really want to think about, because that's kind of the basis of going down a road to success with the Lord. So, next one. So who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? John, do you mind if I just ask it? To you. Okay. And what did he do? Is somebody else maybe? What did he do for us? I mean, if there's something he did, what did he do?
He died.
Why, though? Why did he die? For us? For our sins. So, go ahead. So, and why did he die for our sins?
He died for our sins because that was the only way it could have been done.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I mean, the really, that's right. That's right. He took our sins, but what else did he do? What else did he do right after he died on the cross and was buried?
Rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead. So, and why did he raise? Why did he raise from himself from the dead? Or why did God do that? A what? That's right, and that's exactly what he says, isn't it? And you know, it's to me, it may also be a witness that there is a life after flesh death. So, at any rate, next question. Mike, do we all believe, or do we believe that there's a heaven and hell? And I know if you come to church, you probably say, oh, of course there's a heaven and a hell. But, you know, it's not just knowing that there's a heaven and a hell, right? You know, well, everybody says, well, what does that mean? You know, what is hell like? What is heaven like? So, and we want to know. We want to know. So, do we all believe in here that there's a heaven and a hell? Right. Okay, next one, please. Mike? So, let's do a little self-searching and ask ourselves, if we die right now, where would we go? Now, I know, you know, during a normal sermon by Pastor Josh and so on, he gets to these points. I'm just trying to cut off all the other stuff and just trying to get down to the facts, the things that you really need to ask yourselves about this. If you die right now, where would you go? Heaven.
I feel like I would go to heaven.
100%, though. So I'm not saying that people don't believe that they're 100%. But do you really feel 100%? Not 99, not 99 and a half, not 79, but 100% that you're going to heaven and not hell. So that's the question I posed to you, because that's what happened to me. I posed that question to myself. Next one, please. So let's say you're 99% sure, because I think there are more people out there like me than just me. So, you know, if what you believe were not true, wouldn't you want to know? I mean, wouldn't we want to know if there's that 1%? I mean, and this is just yourself. This is a personal thing with you and God. It has nothing to do with the person next to you, because it's with you. So You just need to ask yourself these simple questions. So wouldn't you want to know? And so the one of the examples that Tom likes to use is, if you had cancer and you're going to die in 3 weeks, and they found a cure for it, it was a pill, and all you had to do was take that pill and you would not have cancer anymore, wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know? So I hope to offer that information to everyone here. Okay? So we're going to run through some verses. And if you don't mind, please just speak the words. And then just hold on to those words, because I'm not going to answer them for you. First, please. Would you go ahead and say them? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of glory of God. So, Rick, what's that mean to you?
Everybody?
What do you mean, everybody? Even you? Do you sin now? So, who didn't sin in the flesh? Jesus is the only one that never sinned. Not once. Not once. In his 33 years, he never sinned. But the rest of us, yep, we're sinners. I mean, I'm a sinner. In fact, I didn't think I could be saved, really, because, just it's sad. But we're all sinners, and we're going to sin, folks, because we were born sinners. We were born sinners because that's the way it is. We all fall short of the glory of God. And there's nothing we can do about it. So we're all sinners. Let's go to the next one. Let's go ahead and say this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if I ask somebody what are wages? Wages of sin. What do we think that is? Consequences? Yeah. So I do something bad, there are wages, there's something that I owe. So you kind of think about that. So we all have done things that have created sin. But there's a good part to this, and I think it's very important. But the gift of God, let's read this one last time. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is that gift. There is that gift. It's just right there. I just want everybody to know that it's there. Whether you're 99% sure, whether you're 50% sure, you've never been saved before, it's there. It's a gift, and it's here. It's here in this room. It's here next to you, and here next to you, and here next to even Tom over there. So, he's always with us, folks. He's always with us. He's always next to you. He knows what you're going to do. Even if you're, they say, well, let God drive your life. Well, he's always there next to you. But the thing is that God is not going to intrude into your life. He's not going to come and knock on your door, because it's something we have to do. Go ahead. Mike. Go ahead. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Okay, they're getting a little... they're getting a little deep, but also it's pretty clear, isn't it? There's only one way to go to heaven. One way. And it's not me. It's not the Speedway gas stations. It's not Rick. It's not Tom. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only one way. And you will not go to heaven unless you accept him and be born again. Now, how do we do that? Go ahead. Let's go to this next here. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me but through me. So we just talked about that. Again, it reinforces the fact that that there's only one way. Next, please. If thou shalt confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, and these are just some others, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Any more? Just checking back there. Mike went through them. So I guess I just want to leave you with this, and then Rick's going to pick up. But, you know, Jesus Christ is standing behind our hearts. Whether you're saved or not, he's there. And he can be on both sides. But the thing is you have to knock. You have to let him in. You personally have to let him. He's not going to let himself in. And that, if you sincerely believe the things that we just talked about, that and that alone will give you the strength and open that door, your faith and your love for Jesus Christ. You just open your heart to the Lord and invite him in. And that is the start of your rebirth. And I just want you to know that I've gone through this, and I never thought I'd ever do something like this. Never. I never thought about doing door-to-door. Are you kidding me? You know, I would never do that. But I want you to know it's made a real difference in my life. And this has made a real difference, because sometimes we come to church and we hear other places and it just kind of gets all tangled up. You know, you're trying to say, well, what are the most salient points? What do I really need to know? And basically, this is all you need to know and really want him to come in, but you have to allow him in. You have to open that door and let this love and faith and caring and consideration change your life like no other. And you will go to heaven. And you will be changed. You will think differently. You will walk differently. You will feel differently. And he will offer that peace that I talk about. And that will be the center of your life with him. And allow him, because I can tell you, all my degrees and all my experience did not help me with my daughter. And you'd say, how can that be? All the things that man put on this earth to give you tools to be able to save my daughter, and I had them, and I failed, and I tried to save my marriage. Guess what? This one failed. It was really ugly. But God. So I just wanted to share that with you. I know it may be a little too thick or something like that, but it's a truth. It's a truth, and I just wanted to make sure it's not hard to open your heart and let him in, but there are steps, and there's a salvation prayer that goes along with this. And when we're out there with others on the street, standing there, in one case, the guy pulled in with a semi, backed it up in his driveway, and we're trying to have a conversation with him next to a running semi truck. But in many cases, the word still gets across because people want to know. And I just want to say, it's that simple. Now, that's the beginning of your life. And I will tell you that we need people like the people in this church to help you grow as a Christian and a believer and help you with your faith in the Lord. So this is a very nurturing environment. You know, I know many people in here, and they're loving And I watched them grow along with me. And I just want to say it's a real blessing to be here. God has been really good to me and to my wife in making us better people, unlike I could ever imagine. And it's not through a bunch of books, which I have plenty of, that I paid a lot of money for. It's one book, you know, and you can buy it for a dollar at the dollar store. That one book will change your life. And I just wanted to say one thing. When I was reading the Bible, I'd do it in the morning, and then I'd find myself getting too busy while I'm going to work, and I wouldn't do it. So I had to make a habit of it. So I would get up at 5 every morning, and I swear I do this. I get up at 5 in the morning. I read the Bible. Whenever I'm done, I go back to bed. And that's the only way that I know, because I've got to have my time with the Lord. I've got to get in that Bible. And I tell you, it makes my day. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to share with you my life as it is. I'm humbled. I act totally different around other people. And I pray for the people. I love them, even though they don't love themselves. And you know, where can you pick up these things? I mean, how can it just come to you and you're a changed person? Only one way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ. And thank you.